Moomin can. Case 7. Joshu's washing the bowl. The case. A monk asked Joshu, "I have just entered this monastery. I beg you to teach me." Joshu asked, "Have you eaten your rice gruel?" "Yes, I have," replied the monk. "Then," said Joshu, "go and wash your bowls." The monk was enlightened. Sunday, September 29th, 2002. At 3:17 a.m. sent me the following message. "Hello, Ko. I know I have my differences with you and some of your beliefs. But if what you believe is indeed real, then you will know that my differences and disagreements are more with my own inner chaos than anything aimed at you as a person. I am writing this as I read what you wrote on the Indie Media site, and I wanted to tell you about my son, Peter, who remains in jail at this time in solidarity. I worry about him as I have not heard from him, and he went alone and is not always smart in how he prepares for such things. We actually don't know where he is, and there's no contact sheet for him with the folks at Legal. After a very long day communicating with his girlfriend, who did not go and has not heard from him either, and after numerous emails with Edward, this is what I am feeling. I want to protect him. I want to wrap my arms around him and make all the bad things go away, and for him never to come to harm. I want him to fall asleep as he once did, safe in my arms, feeling secure that those monsters in the closet, at least for tonight, cannot touch him. I want him to know he is loved more than one lifetime can afford a father to communicate. I want for one moment to hold the child safely in my arms once again. But he is not that child any longer, although that child is indeed still within. He is a young man, full of fear of what is happening to the world he loves, to the people he cares about. Frightened himself, he chooses to face his fear. He wants to make a difference. He wants to spend his life on something other than the accumulation of things that we should live 1,000 years can never provide us with real happiness. He is angry, and sometimes not so smart in displaying that anger. But he cares deeply. If he didn't, he would be out somewhere getting drunk and getting laid instead of sitting in a jail cell tonight taking a stand, while so many others want nothing more than to be at home, safe in the physical arms of love, feeling secure. That just for tonight. Those monsters in the closet cannot touch them. Why? Why put himself at such risk? Why not just have stayed home where he could have been safe? Because he knows that somewhere, some other child, no matter their age, is even now being threatened by those same monsters. The question is not why is he there? The question is why am I not? I am writing this to you because I respect you and envy you. I know maybe that term envy is not the right word to use, but sometimes I am just so confused when it comes to being in the world, but not of it, of being able to stand between the child and the monster, of being human and real, while also being free of those things that tie us to our false sense of self, that seems so much a part of what leads to the monsters we are capable of being threatening the child. Thank you for listening. Lewis. Sunday, September 29th, 2002, 7:50 a.m. Dearest Lewis, there is no difference in how we feel about our kids. My son Ian disappeared at the WTO demo in New York City a while back, and I was frantic. He also went alone, really his first time at a demo alone. When I started hearing about the arrests and could not get him on the cell phone we had given him, I felt probably much the same as you do. A year ago, I got the call I had been dreading from Sean, my oldest. It was around 4:30 a.m. when the phone rang here, and I vaguely heard an automated operator say that it was a collect call from an inmate at some correctional facility. I was half asleep. Collect calls from prisoners here are not unusual. They're part of my job and very costly to EZF. This call coming at such an early hour was a major annoyance, and I just rolled over in bed and ignored it. A few minutes later, the phone rang again. This time I got out of bed and took it in the office. I was angry and figured I'd ream out some prisoner for disturbing us at 4:30 in the morning. When the message came on, there was a little space in it where the prisoner could identify themselves. And in that spot, I heard my kid shout out, "It's Sean." My heart sank. He had been in a car with some friends in New Mexico, where he was visiting his mom, when the cops pulled over the car for having an expired registration and warrants on the car owner. The kids had been out drinking, and they all got arrested for underage consumption. Having been arrested, beaten, and raped when I was 18 back in 68, I was frantic for my kid. He was calling from a privately run county jail, which I knew from experience was a real hellhole. In both cases, with Ian and Sean, neither one was hurt in a major way, and both got out of the respective situation relatively unscathed. But I know only too well the feelings which coursed through me as their parent. My heart goes out to you. Your instincts and insight are right on, Lewis. I have faith that Peter will be okay and come out of this a better person. Jail solidarity is rough on us parents because of the unknown factor in the process. A friend of mine, who is my attorney and an expert in police misconduct, told me once about his daughter doing jail solidarity after being arrested in a demo. He said it felt like it took a decade off his life. In the end, it worked out. She was released safely. Her biggest fear at the time was that her big shot attorney daddy would come to her rescue and embarrass her in front of her comrades. Hang in there, my friend, and know that there are others out here who support you and Peter and appreciate what you're going through. Please feel free to contact me at any time if I can be of service. I will be out of the office most of today. I have to teach this morning, and this afternoon I have to drive 2.5 hours to the monastery to visit Sean, attend the abbot's 70th birthday party, and drive back tonight. I don't expect to be back until midnight or so. I'll be either here or at the hardware store tomorrow. In dynamic peace, Kobutsu. I just wanted to share these messages with you today, because these are very, very real and very genuine feelings. And in these times, right now, as we speak, for the past 2 days and again today, the young people and some older people in Washington, D.C. are being arrested and detained without cause by the police. Many of them, according to the accounts on the independent media, were taken in buses, loaded into the buses in plastic handcuffs, kept on the buses for up to 12 hours without any relief, without any water, without any bathroom facilities, and driven to a remote location in the southwest corner of Washington, D.C. The posting on the indie media site that Lewis referred to and that I had made on Friday was in response to Father Tim Duncan, who is a Catholic priest who works in the Catholic Charities of Louisville, Kentucky. And Father Tim does a lot of refugee resettlement work, primarily of refugees and people from South America who are desperately in need of assistance when they come to the United States seeking political refuge from some of the horrendous situations that are taking place in South America. Father Tim had gone with a group of young people and a group of engaged Catholics, had gone to Washington, D.C. to voice his opinion and voice his solidarity with those who oppose the neoliberal New World Order and corporate globalization that is taking place. Father Tim had not planned on getting arrested. He is a middle-aged man. He had simply gone to be a part of the demonstration without taking any kind of confrontation, just to simply be a part in a nonviolent manner and stand in solidarity with the people in Washington and for all of the people in the world who are affected by the decisions and deliberations that are being made by the tremendously wealthy people who are running the International Monetary Fund, the World Trade Organization, and other such controlling bodies. Father Tim got caught with a group of people on a sidewalk. He was actually standing on the sidewalk after they'd been told to move to the sidewalk by the police. He and the group of people he was with were on the sidewalk. The police boxed them all in and arrested everyone and charged them all with refusing to obey given them any orders. Father Tim was handcuffed in his clerical garment, so it was quite obvious who he was and what he did. And he was taken to jail and kept for quite some period of time before he was able to post bond and was released. He gave a wonderful interview, a 24-minute interview, which is available on the Indie Media site. And for those who are interested, they can contact me later. I'll give you the URL so that people can listen to the audio interview that he did with Indie Media. Quite an impressive man. Certainly what he did, I think, was tremendously valuable and commendable, particularly for a clergyman of a major faith. It is rare that we find such individuals standing up for what is right in the so-called corporate religious organizations. People who do such things generally do not receive very much support. And I, after listening to his interview, was very, very impressed. And I made a posting on the Inmedia site in support of Father Tim and his stand. I hope that the demonstrations proceed. I trust that there will be no injury for anyone taking part. I hope that voices will be heard, and I trust that all who are taking part on not only the people demonstrating, but also those who are ordered to maintain security, that they also are not hurt or injured, and that they do not hurt or injure any demonstrators. As of this morning, when I left the house, somewhere close to 20 to 9, I had not heard back from Lewis, and at this point, I assume he still does not know how Peter is. And he is not alone. There were some 700 people arrested in the past 2 days in Washington. There will probably be more arrests today. And every one of those people that's arrested has a parent. And I think that Lewis's really poem about his feelings is very poignant and communicates the tremendous concern that we feel for the safety of those who stand up and speak out. Because of what they perceive as injustice, inequality, and brutality in this world. Frightened himself, he chooses to face his fear. He wants to make a difference. He wants to spend his life on something other than the accumulation of things that, should we live 1,000 years, can never provide us with real happiness. Amen. Thank you all.